Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Between love and hate, the lady, the sweetest woman in the world, can be the man. Well, welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Chris Michael Ward. And I'd like to thank all of my listeners from north to south, east to west, and everyone in the 40 countries around the world that tunes in. I appreciate you so much. But before I introduce my co-host, Chris Michael Ward, I just want to say happy birthday. Today is his birthday. Happy birthday, Chris. I wish I had some candles. You're welcome, darling. But anyway, Chris, is there anything I can say before we introduce our guest?
Yes. Hello. Hey.
Hello, birthday guy.
Okay. Hello. Happy birthday to you, Chris. Yeah.
Hello. Happy birthday.
Okay, well, without further ado, now, this young lady, oh, my God, Mrs. Earlene Robinson, she's from PowerPoint 103.5 Radio, and, you know, she's been here last week, but we ran out of time, and the sister, she wanted to talk about these books she wrote called Hidden Sickness, so you know some, y'all know when y'all crazy up in the head, y'all know when y'all got some dysfunctions, you know, so I can't wait to dip a little deeper, because when she said that's the name of her book, woo, 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 my chest, my heart start beating fast. I said, oh, we're going to go there tonight. So without further ado, how you doing, Earlene?
So far, so good. How you doing, Terry?
I'm hanging in there, darling. It's so good to have you back. You know, your family, and you can come back anytime you want. But, you know, oh, man, you know, your book, Hidden Sickness, you know, I don't know if you're talking about it's a mental thing going on. I don't know if you're talking about a physical thing going on, you know, but we done had guests that had a physical sickness. Remember, Chris, recently?
Yep.
What's that, male dysfunction, whatever, men can't get it out.
Yep, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, we had, you know, the HIV story. We had a lot of hidden sickness. And if you look a little closer, there's something in everybody that they're hiding. Mm. Because I'm hiding something, too. And I ain't telling what it is. It's nobody's business but mine. So come on, Early. Talk to us, baby. Talk about these books, Hidden Sickness.
Okay. All right. First of all, I want to say thank you for having me. Terry, I appreciate you allowing me to come on the show once again. And hey, I have got to say this right quickly too. I got to put this in there. That introduction, oh my God, that's bad. Ooh, I'm sitting over here rocking to that music. That's nice. I love it.
Thank
you. Love your introduction. Yes, that's beautiful. Okay, and happy birthday. Now, again, I have to say this. I couldn't understand, you know, as much as what you were saying. Is it Chris' birthday, somebody's birthday?
It's my birthday, Chris's birthday. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to say happy birthday. Okay, happy birthday,
thank
Chris,
you.
Before I get in here and start running my mouth.
Thank you. I appreciate
right,
it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. Okay, so a hidden sickness, yes, and what I like to say, I'd like to give a little bit of background right quickly from last week. We begin to talk, and I brought to Terry and Chris's attention that it was my imagination back in the day. It started back in the day. I'm going to try to bring you guys back up here to today quickly, just a rundown.
Okay,
for those of you
who
wasn't with us, because I want to get as much as I can in. So as us as little kids and stuff like that, our imagination and mine was vivid even back then. I didn't understand it. You know, we talked about the church. This is what I want to say also. What I didn't bring up was those Barbie dolls, okay, those Barbie dolls, and then it turned into, do you guys remember Spiegel books from Montgomery Ward's and J.C.?
Yeah,
I think it was J.C. Penney, something like that. You remember?
I do. I remember J.C. Penney.
Yeah.
J.C. Penney, okay. Catalogs back in the day. Do y'all remember how thick those books were? It were maybe three to four books. Okay. So we put them on. We got years. This went on for years with those Barbie dolls. I'm telling you, I grew up with that. So it went on for years until my teenagehood. My girlfriends, other girlfriends that I was going to school with, they were talking about when I go around them, you know, their first time getting intimate with boys at 13, 14, 15 years old. All I had to share was with Barbie dolls, you know, and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. we grew up like that. But anyway, those Spiegel books, we put them away for a while. I said that to share with everybody that how long I was doing it, you know, mm-hmm. how long I was with these dolls. It became a vivid imagination for me. I'm telling you. So,
Pump the brakes early. Whoa. you said that your friends at 13, 14, and 15 were talking about how they was getting it on, and because you was a virgin, all you had was your dolls. So was you using Ken and Barbie, kissing and all that other kind of stuff? Was you doing that?
Okay, well, yeah, but we didn't. Okay, right. Okay. Now, there's an explanation. There is an explanation to that. Let me do this right quickly. Now, there were five boys in the house. Five boys and me and my sister and my father mostly. Okay, so there were boys in the house. We didn't know nothing about that. Now, I thank God for that. We'd never seen one of those things back then or nothing. Oh, you know what I'm saying? So we didn't know what to do. We never walked in on mom and dad whenever mom and dad was home together. We never walked in and saw in the room and caught them doing anything. I didn't know what that thing on men looked like until I was 18, 19 years old. So Ken didn't have those three things down there. He just had this round lump. You remember? I'm drawing that information for you guys. Okay. Now we did. Yes, indeed. So, okay, imagination time, guys. Imagination time. So, but that's what it was. Now, they did a little humping and kissing and stuff like that, but that was as far as it went. But when you got with the girls my age, and I did go to school and I did talk to them, okay, when they shared it, okay, I couldn't get that imagination going because I never saw one. I didn't know what that looked like. I'm serious. So they tell me how it hurted. And so sometime when I got around them, I would even share that too. Oh, yeah, girl, yeah, that hurted me too, but I was all right. And never seen one in my life, you know, until that. That's right. So I share that to tell you guys how deep my imagination is. And even still today, because I did share that, you know, even when I became an adult, and I did have a daughter myself. I told you guys that I was down there on my knees playing dolls with her too as well, so kid at heart. So as I got older and stuff like that, and those paper dolls, let me go back to that book right quickly, this Spiegel. I just want to draw a picture for you guys so y'all can see exactly what I'm talking about. So those Spiegel books, we had houses. We are on the floor. We cut out furniture. We cut out paper dolls. We cut out clothes. I mean, it took us a whole month to cut out one of those thick Spiegels from Montgomery Ward. So we had beautiful homes, you know what I'm saying, to share with each other and to play with. So it was really, it was fun. And we go in the kitchen, in our kitchen, and we get food and we bring it to the doll's house. Man, I can share so many stories on that. But anyway, that's how it become. Then I start to put that on paper. The older I got, begin to write that, you know, because my neighbor ended up moving. And we moved too as well, so it left me by myself. I think that's what stopped me from playing. I would play sometime by myself because I missed her, my neighbor, so much, you know. And then when I go to church, none of those kids there, which were my family, they didn't play, you know, dolls and stuff like that, you know. So I was alone. So therefore, that's when that pencil and paper came up handy. I want to do this again, you know. So I sat down. And I began to write, and I put those stories together just like I did with the dolls back then, you know. So this is what this is about. They're fictional stories, but they're horror. Okay, so now after I begin to have children, right, even them, they'll tell you, have anybody heard of these movies called Faces of Death? Faces of Death.
No, I haven't heard of that. No, not me.
Well, okay. I started those kids off at like 5 and 6 years old. I feel bad about it. I do. I bought those tapes. They were VH1 tapes then. Remember VCR tapes?
They're still big ones.
And And I saw this skeleton on this cover, so I put it in there, and they show real death. Everybody's dying for real, real death. So I said, okay, let me introduce these kids to something like this. Huh?
Yeah. I said, whoa, you know, you traumatizing those children.
Well, I tell you what, the feedback that I get from them today is moving and traveling so much. They don't never tell me nothing about why introduced us to horror movies. They never told me anything. They don't complain about that. They complain about traveling so much. So they get on me today about that. So that's how they end up doing. So now bring us on up to a hit and sickness. So it still go back to those dolls. Now, you guys could come and say what you can draw your own conclusion out there and stuff like that, but I know where it come from, and I'm only spitting facts. I know exactly where it come from, and that's those dolls. Like, say, for instance, my brothers and my sister and my father and them, they all know it. Those, when I first got my first book, they knew exactly where it come from. This sounds just like what you used to do a long time ago.
Okay, well, give me some clarity on what you're saying. Okay, you're saying that playing with the dolls, even though they didn't have all the parts like Ken had, the same thing that Barbie had. Okay, the hidden sickness is an idea that you didn't know what to expect if you was involved in a sexual relationship. What is a sickness? I mean, it's hidden that you
kept
with your girlfriends that you weren't doing it. But what's the sickness?
Yes, indeed. I got it. I got you. Look, so it all ties in together. What I'm trying to say is that imagination, that vivid imagination, you know. So a hidden sickness is based on, here's where we draw the line at. It's like that is still imagination. Because, all right, when you sit down and watch movies, and I'm not prejudiced, okay, a lot of times when you see movies and a serial killer, I'm going to say at least 80% or what? They're not black people. Okay. Well,
right.
Back in when I, from 2015, 2014, they're not serial. Okay. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Jeepers Creepers. You get into all those horror movies like that. Those are not black people that serial killing out there. Gene Ed and, who all these, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, this black story that I made up, it didn't start off like that. Now, remember, I raised my kids on horror movies. That's all we watch. So that's in this vivid imagination. That's in this same vivid imagination of this little girl playing those dolls. I took it and twisted from Ken and Barbie and put it in Slasher, okay? So now you got this beautiful, drop-dead, gorgeous Holly Lancaster. Came up with the name. How did I come up with that name? We'll get to it later. But beautiful. She owns her own home in a nice area. You know, she has her beauty salon in the back of her house there. She has a beauty salon. The community loves her. She's a productive member of the church. Of church society too. Goes to church. That's how I get my scripture in my book. Okay? That's how I get scripture in the book, because Holly goes to church. But see, nobody, little do anybody know. I'm going to go ahead and tell it, because they're not on Amazon anymore. I have those books at home myself. I have those books there myself. Like I said, that's another story. I begin to print and all that, market my own books. So I have my own books. I sell my own books, right? And sell my own books. So Amazon and corporate America do not have them. I do. So I can go ahead and talk about them. All right. They've been published. So no copyrights, no nothing. I don't have to worry about nothing like that. So, but anyway, I want to say, so this beautiful, young lady and stuff, you know, she was going through a lot coming up and everything. We kind of hit that in the back. In part one. Now, we got right across the street, directly across the street from her in this beautiful home, this guy, Keith Dash, and his brother, Kyle. Keith had two sons. He divorced his wife, and he had to get away from her because she was on drugs. She was on drugs, so he had to get away from her. So you see when I'm linking it up, they're going to meet each other directly across the house, the street. So she comes out one day, and he, God, look at that, you know. And she been noticing he's construction work, handsome. dark. I went on into details. Remember, vivid imagination since those Barbie dolls. So I got this vivid imagination. I draw it all down for you guys. I'm telling you. Okay, from the feet to the head and the clothes they wear, the lingerie, when I say vivid imagination, if they step outside of their front door.
This book is erogenous then. It's an erotic book, right?
Absolutely.
Okay,
so,
okay, well, y'all heard that right here. It's erogenous. Okay, I just want to make it plain.
Okay. Then you, if you step out, if you're reading my book and you step, she steps out of her front door, I'm going to tell you the leaves on the trees. They fell to the ground. What the ground looked like if it's wet from the rain. I just vivid imagination, okay? Y'all stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this, okay? So anyway, he meets her. And, oh, drop dead gorgeous. Remember, he's divorced. So, and his brother lives with him. They went half on the house and stuff. He helped him raise his brother's kids and stuff. So finally the two tie up in church, okay, in church. So let me see how can I get into this and try to skip it up. Anyway, a hidden sickness. Let's keep that name, guys. That's the name of it, is a hidden sickness. Holly Lancaster is, how can I go through it? Because it's like 10 parts. So on this first, I'm only sharing with you the first part. Anyway, a lot of people come up missing, you know. So after and come to find out, Holly is like, okay, she's talking on the phone. Y'all see if you can get this. Holly is talking on the phone. The readers are reading the book. Holly's talking on the phone. Yeah, girl. So you want to rent out a room because I can use your help with my beauty shop in the back. So come on. Yeah, friend is telling her, yeah, well, I need a place to stay. Well, come on, because, you know, so she moves in, the friend moves in. Now, the friend is just a cover-up. The friend is only a cover-up, only telling you guys because, so Holly's really, I go through the whole book with her and her friend there, people disappearing and stuff like that. Okay, come to find out at the end, they find out Holly was seeing a therapist and stuff like that, and there was never nobody in that house with her, never. Okay, we also had scenes where Keith Dash came over there. He took her out a couple of times, way out to the ship, and they ate on the beautiful Queen Mary, all this stuff. He showed her wonderful times. They began to start liking each other, really having feelings for each other, right? And so then he ended up going over there. I'm going to tell you this, too. She ended up with his baby son. He had two sons. He had one was 5 and one was like 7. And that baby was down in the basement, girl. That baby was down in the basement, and he over there in bed with her. It gets deep, I'm telling you. But anyway,
well,
yeah. It really...
On the air, so we can kind of like feel the flow. But before you do that, Chris got a question he want to ask you real quick.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Erline. My question is, to my understanding, Hidden Sickness is a two-part book, right?
10.
Oh, it's a 10-part book. Okay.
Well, okay, so I got you. I'm going to clarify that right quickly, Chris. There were that were published, one part one and part two. By the time I got to part 3 to 10, they're here. They're at the house with me. So
okay. My question is there more to the story? But obviously there is. It's just not published, right? So
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, read a little something, so we see what you're working with.
Mm-hmm. Terry, I am really having a hard time hearing you. I don't know why.
Okay. Well, read us a little something, because I want to see what you're working with.
Okay, so I think I caught that. Got it.
That's the truth. About that, you know, I don't know, Gerald Levert just popped up there and it seemed like it was in sync to what you was getting ready to talk about, you know, because that's some love making music right there. So I apologize. You know, you go ahead and bring that erotica stuff that you be writing, turn everybody on that's listening.
That's okay. That's perfectly okay with me, because it took me back to that movie Strap. With a Bokeem Woodbine. Yeah, you see it. They played that on there. That was nice. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, okay. We waiting to hear about that hidden sickness.
Okay. So before I go into my imagination, do anybody have any questions before I go? Before I get started?
No.
Okay. Great. Okay. I appreciate you hearing me. I do, you guys. Huh?
I was asking Chris, did he got to say anything before she hit the reading?
No, she was good. I was confused with the music, but now I'm up to par. No, I don't have any questions. Go ahead.
Okay. So, like, let me try to speed it up. Let's see. But anyway, that's a lot of what's been going on with, you know, a hidden sickness. Now, a lot of times, like, I will fool the readers. Like, say, for instance, this is this beauty supply place, and here comes Holly walking up to go and pick up all these beauty supplies. And I think her name is Rita, Miss Rita, whatever. Oh, okay, yes. Well, going around the corner there, they got your boxes ready. Pick them up in the back and stuff like that. So she'll pick them up. Seeing how I fool the readers is that by the time Holly gets to the house, well, then Holly would end up going to this beauty supply place, you know. And but I tell them in the introduction, you guys make sure the details to this book is very important or you will miss it.
I'm sorry
about that. Yeah, you will miss out. You will miss it if you know what I'm saying, if you don't pay attention to the details. So, but anyway, she'll backtrack and go. And I did have critics. I think you said something about that too, Terry, right?
Who's that?
Somebody you shared, I think, either over there on my show or either last week with here on yours, that something about somebody end up being your critic. Was it family members end up being critics?
Well, you know, a lot of people try to be a critic, but I don't care. You know, sometimes it's people calling in to the show and they be trying to act like they're trying to run the show, but Chris lets you know,
right.
I shut that crap down. I ain't the one.
Yes. I know that's right. Critics of the books and stuff like, well, it was this one particular person that she was. And she would anytime, let me see it, give me the manuscript, send me. I'm like, wait until the book is published. So I begin to trust her with the manuscript, you know, feed her pieces at a time, maybe two or three chapters at a time. And she give me the feedback on it. I need that feedback, you know. So, but she would tell me about, you know, how she didn't quite understand how Holly went to the beauty supply place to pick up, but then when she get back, Holly is, I forget the concept of it, but she didn't understand remember, guys, I wrote this book in 2014 and written plenty others since then. Let's move it on along, okay? But anyway, you have to pay attention because you will know. At the end of part one, you will definitely know that Holly was in that house alone by herself the whole time. There was never no friend that moved in. Holly getting on the phone and talking and saying, hey, you want to rent out a room? She's, her psychological self was talking to that person, stuff like that. There was never, so, but the readers were thinking the whole time, made the readers think the whole time. They were going, partying together, and Holly was really by herself, honey. So, and then when she started seeing Keith would come over to the house and take her out, she was her beautiful self. Drop dead gorgeous. You see the cover? Beautiful, you know, and nobody would think it. So this is the part where I come up with a hidden sickness. She was really sick. He would take her to his family barbecues, and they couldn't understand her. A couple of people said they heard her talking in the bathroom to herself, little stuff like that at the barbecue. Some of the people at the barbecue said, don't bring her back here again, all this and that, you know. So Keith never did think twice that there's something wrong with this woman. And then let's move on to part two right quickly. Part two is the name of this is going to be, am I talking too much?
No, go right ahead. I mean, it's your time.
Okay. Oh, and I appreciate you so very much. Okay, so the name of that one is A Hidden Sickness, Part Two. Subtitle is Deceitfully Disabled. Okay, so part one is when psychiatric disorder fits right in. So meaning psychologically she was fitting in, because she fit into church, she fit in on her job, she fit in, and nobody knew what was going on. So that this sickness was hidden. She hid it very well, you know. So now in part two, deceitfully disabled, we got in there. Now, Holly has this long, beautiful brown hair, gorgeous, drop-dead shape, Coca-Cola shape, all that. We go into details, spare no expense on her clothes. She buy expensive clothes. She's you know what I'm saying? So what she do in part two, because now she's running from the feds, because at the end of part one, they're digging up her backyard. Let me tell you, that's a slaughterhouse. That was a slaughterhouse across the street. When they left, they blocked that whole block off. They blocked it off, and it was a slaughterhouse. That girl went in there and did some damage to Keith. Now, Keith wasn't there, and his brother, I think, and his brother and his last son. They were someplace else, okay, and they came home to that. Okay,
can
so
I
they
jump
shut
in
the
here real quick? Because kind of like lost me now. I was getting the impression that the guy across the street who was into construction, he saw the chick across the street, and with his glycerin dark skin and sweating and all that good stuff, they finally got into it, and they produced a child. Okay, now, the erotica that I'm waiting to hear was like, you know, what happened when he got in between the sheets? I mean, you talking about now somebody burning some bodies in the backyard.
There you go.
I don't want to jump all the way over that. I want to, like, you know, talk about that, the hidden stuff first, you know, before we get into the other stuff. Give somebody something to read later. Let's talk about what happened when they hooked up.
Okay, let me see if I remember. I told you I can't really catch. I didn't catch all of that. Now, I know you said something about him not knowing what was going on about the son.
The guy across the street, he saw the female, okay, and for some reason, by him being into construction, he had a body and he glycerin. And anyway, they hooked up and they had a child. And
They didn't have a child. She's single. He moved in with two sons across the street. Remember, he had a four. Little Chris was four, and I think AJ is six. Four and six. The baby 4-year-old come up missing from the park. That's in the community there. Little Chris come up, and he's still dating her, and she the one that took their baby. And you know what I'm saying now? That's right. And this is the reason why, with her psychological, emotional, hidden problems going on, when they went to a barbecue, he asked her, look, my family, we're going to a barbecue. She said, sure, I'd love to. He said, okay, I'm going to call you when you're ready. So when she got in the car with him, the little boy, he was saying derogatory things. He's a baby. He's 4 years old. Hey, guys, this is my friend. This is my friend Holly. You're going to be seeing a lot of her. Ugh, Daddy, I don't like her. And then the other six-year-old, shut up, Christopher. Don't be saying nothing like that. Daddy, Chris back here talking about Holly, you know, just in the car going back. And he's amazing. So she took that personal. She took that personal and stuff, and even on the way back home, you know, from that barbecue. The baby kept after her. Daddy, no, don't. I mean, it sounds sad, but hey, these are things that do happen. I'm serious. We might not be because we don't see them, you know, but they do happen. Anyway, and so she had it in for that baby ever since. So then I'll say about a couple of weeks later after the barbecue, she goes across the street for the first time and actually go in their house and sit dinner and eat dinner with. Okay, there's little Chris again. And the other AJ, he's like, hey, how you doing, Holly? And stuff like he's okay with dad dating. But the baby wasn't. He didn't like her. So one day at the park, you know, hey, I just fixed it that the nanny turned her head for a couple of minutes, little Christopher was gone. And we didn't get into no juicy parts about he chopped up and all that. Okay, so he disappeared. Later on at the end, we found his little body in the freezer as well as others. Now, remember she has a, a beauty salon in the back. Okay, people are coming over getting their hair done. Some of these people are disappearing. Okay, y'all gotta get the book.
You know, the chick's a damn nut.
Thank you, a hidden sickness. She goes
she's
through.
A damn
this,
nut. That's what that means.
That's what I'm talking
that's
about.
A sickness to me. She's a psychopath.
Now, exactly. And now look at this. Now, at the end, she was secretly, she never told Keith or nothing, but she put it on her roommate. You know, like, where were you? I called you, you know, and you didn't, whatever. What is her name? China. Yeah, well, China, you know, they brought her medication over. He was asking questions every now and then. Oh, she had medication. Who was that brought medication? Well, that's my girlfriend that lived here. See, he's never seen a girlfriend. He always heard about her. Oh, he just missed her or something like that. Nobody ever seen her, really, because, you know, she didn't exist. So, but anyway, at the end, the psychiatrist and all that, when the feds got in the picture, the psychiatrist come in there and talked to Keith and told him and gave him the rundown. And because his son was missing, Keith, and they put him in protective, I'm getting ahead of myself, tongue starting to tie, all that stuff. But anyway, so they put him and his son AJ in CP. Protection, you know what I'm saying? What is it?
Nobody could get to them. Change their name.
Exactly.
Exactly.
This is what happened. But Keith said, because was Kyle in there then, his brother Kyle? No. So, but anyway, because of his son and stuff like that, you know. So, but anyway, in part two, he deceitfully disabled. Holly's in a wheelchair. And you got this place called Tent Town. I think it's in Florida. Okay, and it's this place in a homeless shelter. Remember, the feds are after her, so she got to lay low. So there is this place, a homeless shelter, and right across the street is an alley. You go down that alley, and there's Tent Town. Everybody set up tents. Nobody want to go in that shelter. We go into details about that shelter, how nasty and filthy it is. The food is rotten and all this and that and all the stuff going on in it, and they're fighting and throwing. It's just
dangerous.
It's horrible. Very, very dangerous, okay? A couple of people died in there. We got drug addicts, you name it. So she goes over there in her wheelchair, and they like everybody on her to help her. Remember, she done shaved her head, all that long, beautiful hair and stuff. Now she's completely bald, and she pretending she can't walk. Then all through part two, people are trying to help her. Come on over here. Y'all got to read that. I'm telling you, that's a really good book. Part two, because
you know,
she knows the fifth.
Let me sum it up for them real quick, you know, because when you say hidden sickness, sickness can be a lot of stuff, you know. It could be emotional, physical, whatever. But this obviously had to be up in her head, you know, cerebral sickness. But anyway, for everybody who's listening, this book, Hidden Sickness, Part 1, is about this female who perpetrates being a part of society, and she wound up being a serial killer. Part 2 is when she hide out so people won't find her, the feds, you know, and it's a lot of detail and twists and turns that you need to check it out, because she first come off like she was in tune with the father, you know, hanging out, you know, they probably had a little sexy in there and everything, and he never would think that she would do that to him. So because our guest played with Ken and Barbie dolls growing up, you know, and because she was sexually not being satisfied at the time, her imagination went dark to the left. She raised her children up on scary movies, okay? And oh, now here she goes with Hidden Sickness. I'm scared of you, Earlene.
Oh, seriously, look, that's a good sum up. That's beautiful. Love the sum up. Yes. Yes, indeed. So 10 time, how much time we have?
Well, you got a couple little minutes here, but I'm going to make sure that you do tell everyone, since you're selling your books yourself, how they reach you so they can purchase books straight from you.
Absolutely. Do you want me to go ahead and get started with that now? We're coming up to the time.
Yeah, but finish talking about the story first, and then we're going to get into how to get your book.
Well, we do, you summed it up correctly. That's it. You got it on the head. See, that's what I wanted to paint that picture and let you guys know where this imagination come from and how it switched over from Barbie's, Ken and Barbie, to horror. That's, I don't know, really. It's just that it's something I begin to do. And by 31 years in the medical field, I've seen the dead bodies. I've bathed them down and changed their clothes, the deceased bodies. So I guess that when I go home, I introduce my children to stuff like that. No, I shouldn't have. I even took them to the mortuary at that young age like that, because I didn't want them to be afraid of anything dead. I wanted them to know that the dead is not the people that's going to hurt you, you know?
That's
so,
the truth of the people walking around.
Thank
but
you.
I just got the clue that we were around about 90 seconds. So tell everybody how to get your book. And you know your family. You can always come back.
Yes,
absolutely, absolutely, right quickly. So reach out to me at via email. That's the best way right now, okay? EARLINE51462@gmail.com, okay? And I'm always over there on the Earlene's PowerPoint with Blog Talk Radio. That call-in number is 563-999-3618. You can always come over there as well. Okay, and reach me on LinkedIn, too, okay? And I'll tell you, be able to explain to you more about how to get those books, okay?
No, one thing, my screen is frozen. I can't move it. Person ain't moving. You know,
what?
Some of the killing stuff. You done killed my computer.
No. So would you be able to close out?
Okay, I'll let it rest, you know. But
okay.
Everyone,
okay.
Female, she got some books for you to read. And because... you know, it was drawn out trying to give you the highlights. It's something that you want to read because, you know, when you're dealing with a crazy female, a crazy chick, you better read the book a little closer so you know that you're not dealing in real life with a crazy chick and know how to run the other way and skedaddle, you know. So read the book.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the signs that she's saying in the book. And if you got a female
people
who got the same signs, you better turn around and run like hell, boogity, boogity, boogity.
That's
down
right.
The road, baby.
That's right. Absolutely. No, that's real talk. Real talk, for real. Yep.
Yeah, I love you, and, you know, your family. All you got to do is call me, and you can always come on. You know, I'm just going to cold boot, try to unplug and try to reboot because my system shut down, and I don't know why. But it's all good.
Wow.
But, tell them one more time,
okay,
baby, how to get your book.
Okay. So, again, guys, those books are not on Amazon. They've been off of Amazon and out of Barnes & Noble's bookstores for at least 3 years now because that's about as long as I've been producing and marketing them myself. hit me up via email at earlene51462@gmail.com. Again, or either LinkedIn, the social media site called LinkedIn, or either Blog Talk Radio, 563-999-3618 is that number for over there. Other than that, that's it.
Okay, well, I'll make a little clarification for anybody listening. She said her name is Earlene. It's not A-R-L-I-N-E. It's E-A-R-L-I-N-E. Because when we say Earlene, people are thinking it's A-R-L-E-N-E.
Right.
No.
Okay.
The right correction is E-A-R-L-I-N-E. Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
R-O-B-I-N-S-O-N. You know, get it right. Check her out on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. I don't know the new things coming out with the meta shit. I don't know. She'll be on that soon, too, I'm sure.
For social? No.
Yes.
How much is books cost,
yes,
baby?
Indeed. Yes, okay, guys. All right. It was a pleasure being here with you guys, like always. Yes, I would be reaching out to you again to come back, share my story. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Yes, good. How much cost of the books?
Wait a minute. I didn't hear you.
What's the cost of the books?
Well, they're different prices. Mine are, okay, my Hidden Sickness, they're different prices. Like if you want that whole 10, of course, that's going to cost, but each book is like $19.99. And we didn't get a chance to talk about Tracy and Deja. How much time we got, Terry? We didn't get a chance to talk about Tracy and Deja. Now, and then I got, oh, God, there's plenty more.
My system has froze. I can't move my cursor. I can't do anything. And so I was trying to do it on my tablet. Everything is froze.
So you got to go in another way. No, she won't be
able. Because
if you don't close out.
Yeah, I'm about to close this out, but, I don't want to lose the time frame I'm entitled to.
Let me go. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and go. It was a pleasure being here. I love you guys, and I'll be back soon.
Too.
Take care. All right.
You too.
Bye-bye.
You too, darling. You take care now. Call me. Well, Chris, have a great birthday, the rest of it, and I'll talk to you soon. Chakotay, my show is over, but I'm going to leave my tablet and stuff in this back bedroom until after these people leave, because I ain't trying to have my purse and stuff around people I don't know. But the cords in the car, they don't work, neither one. The red one, the pink one, and the white one.
Don't put the offers on, you can put my other thing. Thank you. Thank you.